Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here and thank you for the introduction. So I'll just go ahead and get started here. So the title of my presentation is Community Health Workers and Mobile Technology, Improving the Follow-up Continuum Through Case Management and Unique Identifiers in Vulnerable Populations Along the Texas-Mexico Border. And Erwin Mendoza at the bottom. So, here's my disclosure slide. I have no relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of an overview of what I'll be covering today. So I'll start with the learning objectives, move on to the background, cover methods, results and discussion, and then conclusion. So the learning objectives are explain the role of CHWs or community health workers and their capacity in a case management setting, evaluate the effectiveness of using a mobile app to increase rate of follow-ups, and assess the relationship between follow-up outcome and demographic data. So a little background, just a little background about MHP Salute, and let me try to get this mouse out of here. Okay, just a little background on MHP Salute, just who we are. So MHP Salute started in 1983 and has a strong history of working with migrant farm workers in rural communities, particularly in the Michigan-Ohio area. The mission statement is up there, but essentially it's transitioned today to being a national nonprofit that implements community health worker programs in multiple states and provides training and technical assistance to those wishing to either start or strengthen their own existing programs. So I know this is the Health Information Technology section, so I'll provide a little bit of a background on community health workers. So this is the APHA definition, and it's the same one that we try to stick to. So a CHW is a frontline public health worker who is a trusted member of and or has an unusually close understanding of the community served. And this trusting relationship then enables a community health worker to be a liaison or intermediary between health and social services in the community to facilitate access to services and improve the quality and cultural competence of service delivery. And particularly since we are working a lot with Hispanics, since we use Spanish, and they're also referred as promotor or promotoras de salud. So while we have offices in different locations, for the purpose of this presentation, I'm going to be talking about the work we did in Texas. And so our Texas office is actually located in the Rio Grande Valley. It's the southernmost tip, and it comprises those four counties there that you can see highlighted in red. One of the other things I'd like to highlight is that the individuals that we tend to assist live in these very poor subdivisions called colonias in Spanish. And they're essentially unincorporated subdivisions with little or no infrastructure. Residents are often kind of tricked into living in these places, and a lot of times they're kind of like relegated to like very just poor living conditions with no potable water, sewage systems, sometimes no electricity. They may not even have sanitary housing. So. Some of them are pretty bad, and while there have been some improvements, there's still a lot of people who kind of have to live in this area. So here's just kind of a picture of a colonia here in Cameron County, and one in Hidalgo, just for reference. So I'll be talking about two programs. We have a multitude of programs out of the Texas office, but I'll be talking about two programs in particular here and presenting data on those two programs. The first one is called Colonia Outreach, and that one began in 2011. And essentially, our community health workers go door-to-door and do outreach and help individuals determine what their health needs might be. And specifically, they then help them apply for any applications such as Medicaid, Medicare, CHIP, TANF, and, which is a state program, and to be able essentially to connect them to resources. And they also, a lot of times, work out of local communities, health centers. The other program that we had is called the Navigator Program, and this one is basically due to the ACA, which passed in 2012, I believe. And so this one, essentially, we trained and certified community health workers as navigators. And so these community health workers then, in turn, help individuals sign up for insurance through the health marketplace. And they provide free, unbiased information, and they do a lot of translation. You know, it can be complex, and so they essentially just help people sign up for insurance. And for all these programs, we use the CHW model. So I'll cover the methods a little bit, and just to kind of give you an overview. So essentially, we were a paper organization before 2012, and we switched to electronic by partnering with a tech company called Demagi, who helped make the ComCare mobile application that we used to do data collection. So we had this mobile app for a while, and more recently, probably around September of last year, I kind of came on board, and we started looking at what more can we do, and we wanted something. We wanted something to track individuals across time, essentially. We were very limited with just cross-sectional, just grabbing stuff at one point in time. Sometimes we needed to have that information to be able to provide some follow-up. So in the context of the two programs that I just alluded to, The Colonial program, we essentially wanted to do application follow-up, so we wanted to know what were the results of that application that our CHW helped. And for the Navigator program, it was essentially we just wanted to know how many times did people have to come. For anybody who maybe remembers that first year, there was a lot of problems with the website, and so there was a lot of repeat visits and stuff that just kind of fell through the cracks just because of where our capacity was. And so we wanted a way to kind of track this and just to make the process easier for the consumer, because otherwise they were essentially, you know, having to answer these really kind of lengthy forms maybe twice or three times. So I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit of a walkthrough just so you guys have a general idea about how this works and maybe the context of where the mobile app and what the CHW role would be. So this is, I'll do Colonial first, and then I'll do Navigator program. So let's say you have a family and they're living in one of these colonias. They either hear about us or, you know, we do some door-to-door outreach. A lot of times we'll try and be stationed in community centers just because it's a lot easier to help them. You know, they have the resources there that we can submit applications, fax machines, etc. So this family might go to the community center, and then they could receive assistance from our community health worker to submit any application, let them know about resources in their area that they can qualify for based on, you know, their needs. And in particular, while they're doing this, they're essentially doing data collection on the individual on their mobile phones. And so essentially cases are created for individuals who submit an application. And in 2 weeks' time, or 3 weeks, depending on the application, they can provide follow-up, and they have all the information there to provide the follow-up at that later point in time. So that's kind of where the case management works for the Colonia program and what the role of the CHW would be. For the Navigator program, it was a little bit different. So for the Navigator program, the biggest concern was just, like as alluded to, being able to see who was coming back. You know, can we stop maybe having to ask them so many questions if we already got their gender once? You know, we don't have to keep asking them so many times and so forth. So essentially you have community health workers, and you know, we would do events, people would come, and so we would help them sign up for health insurance, or just help them set up a profile, create an email. A lot of these people had never really used electronics, so it was, you know, creating an email so they could set up a profile and so forth. And due to some grant requirements, we couldn't really collect name, so we had to come up with a unique identifying system to be able to track these individuals. So we came up with this naming system, which we asked for the initials of the first and last name of the parents, so the mom and then the father, birth year, and then the gender. So it was something specific that they could remember without having to actually remember, so that we could collect it on a repeat visit. So say this individual comes for assistance, you know, we collect this information, we use our registration form and register them, they're in the system. The community health workers now have access to this case list on their phones, and so when they come back, if they receive assistance from another community health worker, maybe a different navigator, they don't have to ask them all these questions to figure out what they got helped with last time. So essentially just being able to improve the efficiency, and then that in turn also helps to us to be a little more efficient and see how many visits does it take, you know, how much time is being spent, and we could do a little more innovative things in that area. So specifically related to the data collection, so as I alluded to, we began the case management system in around September of 2014. So we did a year before, just to have an idea of how things were a year before, and then we let, you know, a year after. We had a 2,300, we assisted about 2,300 individuals both years, so pretty similar. And I'll be presenting demographic data, application types, follow-up rates, application outcome data, and univariate, bivariate, and logistic regression model. We did this thanks to the work of 10 community health workers who were out in the field, so three of them on the Colonial Outreach Program and seven of them functioning as navigators to help individuals sign up for health insurance. And once again, this all took place in Rio Grande Valley, Texas. So moving on a little bit to the results. So I'll be presenting the demographic data combined just because it was a little bit easier and there was a lot of similarities, so I thought it'd be the most appropriate, but then I'll talk about the two programs in a little more detail separately. So when we look at gender, predominantly we assist a lot of females, so almost overwhelmingly both years was above 80% females. When you look at Hispanic ethnicity, I would just make sure you look at the y-axis, so it's overwhelmingly Hispanic. It's about 98% Hispanic, and that's been fairly consistent. And that just speaks to the region. It's just very homogenous. When you look at health insurance, so you can see here year one and year two. And again, those year ones and those year twos are kind of before and after we started the case management. And we saw a lot more individuals who had health insurance year two, and I think that really speaks to the ACA and what it's been trying to do to get individuals insured. We ask about medical services outside the U.S. Almost everybody pretty much says that they maybe go to Mexico. And so this is about 25%. It was fairly consistent between both years. We saw a lot more individuals employed in year two compared to year one, so that was pretty interesting to see. Education, we only asked in year two, so instead of comparing year one to year two, I compared both programs. And I think that this is a good way to kind of talk about how they were different. So for Colonial Outreach, as you can see, we assist overwhelmingly a huge amount of individuals with less than a high school degree. And so in a sense, it kind of makes sense because these are individuals who need the most help. They're out there in these rural colonias. They don't necessarily have the education. However, when you look at Navigator, it was a lot more evenly split. And I think this really just speaks to the complexity of health insurance and the ACA marketplace. A lot of people didn't know, and so it didn't really matter what your education level was. You just maybe didn't know, and so you wanted to come in and receive assistance. And we did a lot of stuff on the radio and so forth, and I think we got a wide variety of individuals there. Here's age. So the first two is Navigator, and then the bottom two are Colonia. And so the Navigator individuals who came in for assistance tended to be a little bit older, around 50 years old, compared to Colonia, which were about upper 30s. So now I'll talk about the two programs in a little bit greater detail. So here's a number of applications we submitted by year, year one being red, year two being blue. So pretty similar. Overall, we submitted more applications in year one than in year two, but it gave us a total of about 2,700 applications, so a lot of people getting benefits and assistance that they needed. Here's a part that was really interesting. So our follow-up, so we wanted to be able to know, did they receive the service? If they didn't receive it, you know, why did they not receive it? And year one, it was very hard. This was before we had the case management. It was pretty much an Excel sheet that we were just managing, and you know, different people have different levels of familiarity with Excel, so some people wouldn't mind, some people just couldn't really get it. And so this case management system really just made it a lot easier because the community health worker didn't have to think about the technology or have to think about, you know, how do I interface with it. It was very simple. It was just look up on the phone, I've got my case list, I'll call them, I can see when I help them, I can see what I help them with, and so being able to get that outcome information was a lot easier year two, and our follow-up rate actually increased by about 23% thanks to just the improved efficiency there. So we did a little bit of bivariate analysis, and this is looking at the outcome being successful application assistance. So we just put in some demographic information there, some of the information that we had. Gender was the only one that was significantly associated, and age as well was significantly different between application outcomes. So we tried to create a model just to try and predict to see, you know, what was predictive of an individual receiving a successful application. When we put gender by itself, we saw that women had about 2 times the odds of having a successful application. Age, younger individuals tended to do better. However, when we combined both these into one model, neither of them were significant, but still women tend to be at around 2 times the odds of having a successful application. I'll talk a little bit now about the Navigator program and some of the results from that. So here we can see the number of individuals assisted and also the number of applications submitted. So overall, the year one numbers, in my opinion, are a little bit skewed because, again, we weren't able to see if I came back 3 times, I may have counted you 2 or 3 times because we just couldn't distinguish between that year one. There was a lot of just with the website being down, people, you know, not understanding what was going on, it was difficult. But year two, we really did a better job thanks to this case management system. And I think you can kind of see here that maybe while it went down slightly, I think the quality really improved. Here's some information about the plan type. This is only for year two. Year one, again, we were just kind of trying to figure out the whole system. Year two, we did a much better job with data collection, just trying to understand what individuals were selecting. So majority of individuals selected an exclusive provider organization, an EPO plan, and there were typically silver plans almost overwhelmingly. Here's some information that we were able to collect thanks to the case management system. So the average time spent assisting consumer was about an hour. The average number of individuals applying on an application was about 2. And the number of visits, so on average, people required about 1.7 visits. Of those who required one visit or more, the average number was 3. So if you had to come back, you probably came back about 3 times. So just going over some of those key findings. So for the Colonial program, we were able to increase follow-up We found age and gender to be significant predictors of application outcome. For the Navigator program, majority of individuals selected a silver EPO plan in year two. It took about an hour to assist individuals, with most of them requiring about two visits. When we looked at year one versus year two comparisons, we saw an increase in health insurance and employment status, and we also saw less individuals being assisted in year two. When we compare the programs directly, we just saw younger individuals in the Colonial program compared to the Navigator program, and some of those differences in education, which I highlighted. So conclusion, the ability to track an individual across time is really important. I think it can really help program monitoring and evaluation, and it's given us the capacity to do so thanks to this ComCare mobile application in our setting. We were able to increase our follow-up rate, and just some of the things that we could even do just really increased our capacity. And so through this innovative kind of mobile technology, we're able to provide extended follow-ups in a case management setting to underserved Hispanics along the Texas-Mexico border here. Thank you so much for your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them now.